Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous start of their day. Joe Rex Road, how are you? What's going on?
Doing just fine. See, the Preds scored more goals last night. I noticed.
They did. They got
to 33% more than we're used to. I think, if my math's correct.
That's good math from you early on. 6 o'clock in the morning, right off the bat. Rex Road throwing it out there. I like it. Keiser, how we doing? What's going on?
Morning. A little tired. A little heavy in the eyes, but we will power through as a program and have a great show.
We will.
Or is it 50%? Am I wrong? So if they normally score 2, 50% of that is 1.
Now you're asking me
right?
Math questions.
So 50% of 2 is 1. They scored 1 more. So they scored 50% more.
We'll go.
Am I right?
50% more. Why not?
Let's do it. Good job, Preds.
Preds lose again last night, but they did get to 3 goals. So I guess a little bit more entertaining. They lose 4-3.
It was 4-3 after 2?
To the Calgary Flames.
That was 2 periods of scoring right there.
Yeah, and then nothing in the third. A post again at the last part of the game with a chance to tie it up, which I feel like they've done many times so far this year. But they did it again yesterday. But all in all, the losing streak reaches 8 games for the Nashville Predators, which I believe ties a franchise record. Now, you know, Vinga threw out this winless stat, which is what you get into in hockey. And it goes back to, like, you know, 01, 02, and there's ties involved in there, which no longer exist. So,
right.
It is a losing streak that they have now, I believe, matched as a franchise record, 8 games in a row.
So, yeah, so what is the winless streak that he
is? It's 15, I think.
15. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess a tie, I guess you count it the same as an overtime loss now. So,
I guess.
It's winless.
Yeah.
So, but either way, these are not streaks you want to be talking about.
These are not streaks you want to be talking about. And I thought last night, I mean, look, so Nyquist gets sick, so he didn't play last night. So you got to jumble up the lines again. And they put Marchessault with Forsberg and Stamkos. So Stamkos is he's your number one center right now with O'Reilly out. And early in the game, like I thought they looked great. Like Stamkos had, you know, the wide drive on the play to kind of set things up, gets it to Forsberg, back to Stamkos, right to the middle to Marchessault. They scored. They had another shift where they were pretty dangerous and created some things. A nice rush in the second period from Forsberg to Marchessault to make it 3-2 at that point. And it was like, okay, the offense looking pretty decent so far. And then they basically went a period and a half until the very end where they just didn't generate anything again. Like it, and it's not just that line. Like the whole team just fell off the table on offense. So in a game where I thought that it was going to be like, okay, well, at least there's some positives to look at on the offensive side of things, they just fell apart in the second half of the game. And it just kind of looked like more of the same as the game went on last night. And then, oh, by the way, you lose your captain after the first period, and he did not return, and there's no update on him after the game. So I have no idea how long he's going to be out, and now the injury bug's starting to become a pretty good concern on top of all the losing that's going on.
Right. So lower body there. You got O'Reilly out.
Now, Lauzon's out. Carrier's out. Like, you're on the back end right now, you're in some pretty rough shape.
So Marchessault, that's a guy. If there was a guy you would pick to, you know, kind of get going, probably start with him, right, if you're the Preds. So, that happened.
Yeah. I mean, we're scrambling for positives.
Yeah,
right now.
Sure.
I mean, he did score twice. That's good. I mean, you'll take that. I mean, look, from a couple of shifts that they had together, I'd go back with it. When they played Dallas, even if Nyquist is healthy enough to play, I'd say, all right, well, I kind of liked what I saw to start with there from Forsberg, Stamkos, and Marchessault. And those three are going to be a big key. If they ever get this figured out at any point, and I'm including now next year into this, like, those three are going to have to be a key part of it, right? So I would leave them together for the time being to see if you can build anything there. You know, big play in the game last night. Mark Jankowski gets called for a bench minor. It didn't go down as a bench minor, but he got called for unsportsmanlike. And it was from him yelling at the ref at the bench. Like, it was some confusion as to what exactly went down last night. And then so I asked Burnett about it after the game. And, yeah, he got called from yelling at the official from the bench. So, look, they're two pretty veteran officials last night. I have no idea what Jankowski said. It must have been, I guess, pretty bad.
It's got to be pretty severe, right?
I mean, if not,
yelling at the ref all the time.
If it's not, you can't make that call. Like, that's a huge call in a game. So if it wasn't severe, I don't know why you're making that call. But, you know, he gets called for unsportsmanlike. They go on the power play. Jonathan Huberdeau scores for Calgary, and it's 4-3. And then in the third, right until the very, very end, where you put together a push with the net empty, there just wasn't much going on offensively. And it's just more of the same for the Predators.
What did Jankowski say about what he said?
He was not available after the game.
That's weird. So, I'd like to know.
Yeah. I would too. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm not pinning the whole thing on him, but it's just, I think you can live with, like, you're making a play to try to defend your net. You get called for tripping and you go shorthanded. Sometimes that happens. Like, but like getting called for yelling at the ref with everything that's going on right now, it just doesn't sit well with me.
Better be like some like deep, dark, personal stuff.
Yeah.
Thrown. Like, what? You know, it's just constant all game.
Yeah. It's just, it was unbelievable to me. And Burnett said he didn't hear it. You know, he said, you know, guys are yelling a lot. I didn't hear what he said. So I don't know. But, like, you better said something bad to make that call. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's National Hockey League. It's kind of amazing to me that they call those anyway.
If he said something that jarred the ref that bad, maybe he should save that for the next Players Only meeting.
Well,
say it to everybody.
Maybe so.
I'm searching for answers, man.
Yeah. But now you're losing streaks at 8. And, oh, by the way, now you've got your next two games in Dallas and in Colorado. So, Dallas has not gone well for them in terms of a matchup the last year or so.
No.
Colorado is starting to play better and get, you know, they've gotten healthier, so they're starting to play a little better. So, look, you know, it's the National Hockey League. It's not like the Predators have never beaten the Dallas Stars or the Colorado Avalanche. But, like, this thing, there's some real potential to keep going in terms of the losing streak, Joe. It's not getting any easier later this week.
Well, maybe those are just the games to turn it around. You know,
maybe.
You go win those two games, and where are you? Well, you're still 9 wins in 28 games, but it'd feel pretty good, wouldn't it?
It did. It would. If you could go in there and get that win in Dallas, maybe you start to turn things around. I thought, you know, Brunette had some interesting comments yesterday morning. Like, Adam was at the morning skate and asked him, basically, about an idea that we've thrown out there a lot so far this year, is like your top players. Like, how do you keep them accountable? How do you hold them accountable as you're moving forward here? Obviously, nobody's playing up to the level you need them to play at right now. Now, the example he used yesterday was Marchessault, and then he went out and scored 2 goals last night. So there is that. So maybe Adam Vingan is really what Jonathan Marchessault has been missing this whole time.
Maybe he needs to lead the Players Only meeting.
Maybe he does. Maybe he does. But, you know, it was he asked, you know, there was a play, and we'll all remember the play, like in an Edmonton game earlier this year, where McCarron turned it over at the blue line and happened to turn it over right to Leon Draisaitl, which is not exactly who you're looking for there to turn the puck over. He gets scratched the next game. Now, as Brunette pointed out in his answer, I think McCarron at that point was a minus 10 on the season, and they were like 3 weeks into the year. So
it wasn't just one play.
But that was an egregious play. I think he got benched like the rest of the game and then got scratched the next day. And he's like, okay, well, Jonathan Marchessault's turned the puck over a lot that it led directly to goals this year. Like, how do you worry about imbalance there. Brunette, I thought, went on this big, long answer that was pretty good. And then he said this. He said, quote, you know, I could scratch every guy on the team. Is there going to come a time for that? There might. But with saying that, everybody wants to be held accountable. Everybody wants that, but they don't like it when they're held accountable. That's where it gets tricky. And you got a whole team that's probably not playing up to their capabilities or expectations. It's easy to have that excuse. Well, how come he's not getting it, referring to the punishment? And he said to them, and my point to them is, how about you play better, was what Andrew Brunette said yesterday. Andrew Brunette was fantastic yesterday morning for what that's worth. But, I mean, I thought that was some interesting light shedding of how he's trying to handle this with his star veteran players that have not gone well so far this year.
Well, and I also thought it was really interesting talking about, you know, by the way, yes, I have tweaked some things. Like, it's and no one should doubt that he'd be like, hey, Stamkos, shut up. I got a system, and you're going to play the system.
Right.
You know, but he made that clear. Like, he has tried to be in a conversation. Okay, let's try to tweak this. Let's tweak that. But at some point, you do have a system.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to overhaul it, you know, for your star players.
Right, you're not going to completely change it. But, yeah, they've been tinkering and working on stuff all year. And the problem is, Joe, just none of it's working. Like, that's the problem.
It's like
they have 7 wins in their first 29 games.
It's like Chuck says here. It seems like with the Titans and the Preds, we're always talking about, what if this one caller? What if this one play? It's never just one thing. When teams are bad, they are just bad. Well said, Chuck.
I mean, that's...
that is really what it comes down to, doesn't it?
What it comes down to. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Some interesting comments from Barry Trotz yesterday on the Andrew Brunette front. We'll get into that coming up next. The Choice is Yours coming up at 6:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com will be with us later in the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. I'm sure we'll have fun with his questions of Brian Callahan as well.
We'll see who has a future. He can read our palms. Look at our lifelines.
You know, I don't know if I want to know Paul's answer to that.
Yeah, right?
We'll get his thoughts a little bit later in the program. Preds lose last night 4-3 to Calgary. That's now 8 losses in a row, which ties a franchise record for losses in a row. So we'll see if they can snap out of that. Coming up on Thursday against Dallas. Hey, Barry Trotz joining Jared Stillman yesterday for his weekly visit on the program. Talked about a great many things on the program yesterday. And one of them, obviously, was the coach and where Andrew Brunette currently stands right now. Now, one thing I kind of found interesting yesterday, Joe. You know, I think Jared asked about Brunette in like 4 or 5 different ways throughout the interview yesterday. And throughout the first part of it, Trotz, like, as he is wont to do sometimes, didn't really talk about Brunette all that much. Like, he started going into basically everything else except Brunette. And then later in the interview, Jared threw out this scenario here that Trotz did offer thoughts on what the future, or at least what his decision-making could eventually end up being at some point this year if things don't turn around. Here's what Barry Trotz had to say yesterday on Stillman and Company.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not out of the question. I don't say will or won't, but I think you have to look at, it's my job to look at everything. The plan is, you know, no matter what, we got to salvage something of this year. It's got to be the process. And I've told the coaches, and it says just teach and preach. Teach and preach, because you have to. You've got some good young players. You got some older players that got to find their game. So you got to keep teaching. You got to keep preaching the right stuff. You're not gonna bully them. It's not old school where you're gonna bully them to play. They're gonna play because they want to play, and they gotta come together. So I know there's a lot of people piling on. You know, the team, the organization, the coach, whatever. That's the right. They have that right. But this group is, there's a lot of good young men in there, and they're going to do their best to come out of it, I'm sure. But nothing's off the table. I mean, when you're where we are, you know, be the coach, be the players, be whatever, everything's on the table. I have ownership to respond to, I have fans to respond to, I have organizational. But one thing that I'm not going to do is I'm not going to get away from the plan of this is we've got to get younger, we've got to get faster.
So that's Barry Trotz.
All right, that's enough of you, Barry.
Barry Trotz yesterday. Talking about how nothing's off the table when they're in the spot they're in. You know, Jared asked him basically, like, if it keeps going, like, does there reach a point where you just have to make a move, even if you really believe in the coach? And he's like, nothing's off the table. That was about as close as he got to really commenting on the coaching part of it yesterday. I don't know. I just found the whole thing pretty interesting with Trotz yesterday. I mean, he's been willing to – you know, he's been asked about the coach basically every week for the last month. And he's always been pretty behind Brunette. I'm not saying he wasn't behind Brunette yesterday, but like he kept getting asked about the coach and he'd start going on about everything else other than the coach. I just found it interesting yesterday.
He finally sort of, yeah, maybe confirmed that you just can't take anything off the table. So, Barry, a hypothetical coach, Bindrua Runette, let's say. let's get to him one way or the other there, Stilly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's you have to at some point, you know, address it. And so I don't take that as like backing off supporting him, but basically just finally acknowledging, it has to be, everything is on the table. But I also still think with that answer, with everything else we've heard, with all we know about both of them, that I still think it's, if and when it comes, it's going to come a lot later than a lot of people would have assumed, and it's going to come a lot later. I mean, you could say it already is now.
That's the, yeah.
Later than, like, the norm in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, I think, quite frankly, I think it probably already is later than the norm in the NHL.
But I think the norm in the NHL is stupid sometimes.
Oh, I do too. Yeah, I do too. I think sometimes, you know, you're quick to fire coaches in this league, and, you know, I mean, I guess the good news is if you get fired in this league, there's a good chance you're going to pop up somewhere else at some point.
Yes, there is.
Kind of the way it goes.
John Hines, Jack Adams winner, 2025.
Yeah. I mean, right now he's definitely in that conversation. So, like, I've always thought, and we've talked about this, that because of the way that he came up as a coach, and I'm referring to Trotz, David Poile was unbelievably patient with him, right? Like, they're an expansion team. They had to take their lumps. You know, the first few years, they were not very good. He told a story later in the interview yesterday about, you know, how you could kind of feel the walls closing in at one point, and that would have been the 04 season.
Yeah.
Where they were on a road trip to Detroit, and Craig Leopold, who was the owner at the time, was on the plane. He was like, huh, that's weird.
I'm here to fire you, sir.
That's weird.
It's like the assassin is just right next to you.
He's not usually with us. I wonder what that means.
Just really likes to go to Detroit in November.
And he basically said, like, you know, they ended up coming back, winning a game in Detroit. And then, you know, they got Steve Sullivan later that year. They went on a run, made the playoffs, gave Detroit a heck of a series in their first round. They went six games against the loaded Detroit team. And then, you know, we know the rest from there. He was the coach and for another 10 years after that. And he said he asked Craig Leopold later, like, yeah, what was going on there? He's like, yeah, I was there to fire you. Like, I was there to let you go. And it didn't happen. So, I mean, that's just an example of, like, Barry Trotz has talked about this several times, even before he was a general manager. Like, when he got fired, he talked about how, as head coach of the Predators, I remember the press conference. Like, it was incredibly emotional. Like, it was like an hour-long press conference that they've had after they had fired him. Like, that doesn't happen very often. And he went and talked about, like, just the chances that he had gotten and how long David Poile was patient with him when he could have moved on from him many times. That's a long way of me saying I've always thought that Barry Trotz, as a GM with his guy when he hires somebody, is going to be unbelievably patient.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally makes sense. It's kind of wild to think about that. It's like, oh, well, because we won this one of 82 games, I guess I won't make this huge sweeping decision that I was going to make because I got on the plane to do it. You know what I mean? It's kind of silly, but obviously ended up being the right decision.
It worked out. Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing. How many of these firings, we all know about the sugar rush that often comes when you do something like this.
Right.
But how many of them are rash and end up being, you know, not the right decision? Again, it's just, as we've discussed a million times, it's like if it gets to the point, like I feel like last night was at least, I mean, it's not a team that's like, okay, we're done. This is it. That's enough. You know,
right.
Like you could even see like Marchessault's kind of excitement, you know,
yeah,
to the one goal. Like I mean, you know, they want to win. They're trying. I hate to do, again, the whole playing for a coach. No one's playing for the coach. But, you know, like, they're playing poorly. They're bad. But I think the firing is only necessitated when it's like the atmosphere around it is so toxic that you just have to change the voice.
Right. Well, and look, they might be getting there. I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, they've lost eight in a row. And again, like, if it continues through this weekend, and they got two pretty big time opponents coming up, like, they get to 10, like, what does it look like then? I mean, they're 7-16-6 at the moment. You know, it's gotten to the point where, like, me walking in there after the game, like, you're almost running out of things to say. It's like, so, you guys got to 3 tonight. How's that? Like, it's like Groundhog Day walking in there, which, you know, you can feel it walking in there, and it's like, it's, I'm a media guy. Like, can you imagine the players and how they're feeling walking out of there every game? I mean, it's got to just be miserable around there right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we sit here, and I feel for all the Preds fans and all the Titans fans, and I know this is a cliche, you know, like, no one's more mad at me than me or whatever, right? But, like, think about if this is, like, them. Yes, they're all getting paid well to play a sport, but, like, losing is terrible, man.
Yeah.
And if you're in, you know, professional hockey, professional football, whatever, that means you are a hell of a competitor. It has to some degree. You're not just some gifted, you know, person who doesn't care at all. Like, of course you're a competitor. And so think about, like, the losing and then having to answer questions about it and having to deal with that and the cycle of all that. I mean, again, I'm not saying people should feel sympathy for them, because people who pay money to go watch this, I feel sympathy for them.
Yeah.
But just for a moment, you think about it, it's got to be awful, man. It's got to be awful in both of those locker rooms.
Well,
right,
particularly, like, you know, the Titans, you're in December. There's 17 of these. So, like, the light is getting pretty close to being at the end of the tunnel.
Got a month till Cancun.
The Preds, it's December the 11th. This thing goes till April. And you've got, at the moment, and look, I think, you know, Money Puck and sites like that that come up with these percentages, deeply flawed. So you take it for what it's worth. But, I mean, you've got, according to Money Puck right now, a 2.5% chance of making the playoffs. And we're in December. There's a long road left to this season. So, yes, losing is horrible. Losing and pretty much taking yourself totally out of the race by December the 11th in a hockey season is just got to be awful, particularly with that group.
That's very hard to do.
Yeah.
Like, you really have to be an atrocious team.
Yeah.
Which is, again, why this doesn't make sense at all.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The choice is yours. Coming up next, Joe Rexroad in the questions chair. We'll get to that. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
This. We all have choices to make. This. Like right now. The choice is yours now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week. Time for The Choice is Yours on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your sports questions, your non-sports questions. Actually, we have the questions. We'll take your answers.
We'll take your answers.
On the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rex Road is the question asker. Joseph, the floor is yours.
You know what? I'm disappointed. I haven't, you know, Brian Summers used to always give all four answers to the questions, and now I'm not seeing. I haven't seen Brian Summers' answer. I'm very disappointed. I better see some answers from
you,
Brian.
Come on.
All right, sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
Okay, non-sports. So this is it is exactly today, 2 weeks from Christmas. So this is, you know, my chance to get any Christmas questions. I think I do this like every year, but that's okay.
PK is not going to be happy with you.
Great. Yeah, I hope he's up listening and just shaking his fist at the clouds. The best Christmas. Now, this is a wide-ranging category, but because mine may be a little different. It's more in the drink category, but the best Christmas treat.
Okay.
Every year around the holidays, what is the thing that, you know, that you normally don't have? Could be a dessert or whatever that you look forward to the most.
Mine is kind of a boring answer, but for some reason I have it around Christmas and really no other time of the year. It's hot chocolate. Like, I get in this hot chocolate kick around Christmas for some reason. And then you know, it could be minus 14 degrees in January, and I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'll just, you know, go have Diet Coke, something. Don't even mess with the hot chocolate the rest of the year. But for whatever reason, like here in the next week, for about 8 days, I'll be like, you know what? I want some hot chocolate with some marshmallows in there.
Marshmallows.
Big time. Big marshmallow guy in there.
You know, man, as you say that, I haven't had – I used to be obsessed with a kid with hot chocolate, and here's what I would do. Buttered toast, dip in the hot chocolate.
Oh, man. Now, I've not tried that.
Give it a shot.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
Buttered toast?
Yeah, I mean, you toast, you butter it, then you dip it in the hot chocolate.
Interesting.
Hell yes.
Kristen likes hot chocolate, and I'll have to pass it along. She is this on the same vibe as Robbie.
I'm kind of intrigued by that.
Yeah, I don't know about that one either.
That's pretty good. Well, he said he's intrigued. He said he's intrigued, so you're disagreeing with him.
I can try it at home later this afternoon. Okay. I will definitely let you know. But mine would be peppermint ice cream, because that's a staple that my dad always brought home. And he said, this is by far my favorite. And every year he'll go into the grocery store and grab some. And it's like clockwork. He will have it in the freezer for the next 3 months. So okay. There you go.
Interesting. Peppermint ice cream. That's not bad. I hardly ever have it, but it's actually not bad. I mean, really, what ice cream is. So mine is Irish coffee. This is a Christmas morning. Kids unwrapping presents. Of course, now ours are old, and who knows? They'll probably be at some, you know, high school sock hop or something. But Katie and I, it's coffee, it's Jameson Irish whiskey, it's sugar, and it's whipped cream. Yeah. Now, you can do Bailey's if you want to, you know, you want to throttle down a little bit. But,
sure.
Never have it any other time of the year. I mean, honestly, I actually think Jameson is terrible, but it's just great in an Irish coffee. Right. So there you go.
Chuck on the text line throwing it out there. I get in trouble with these. You know, the Little Debbie Christmas cakes.
Oh, sure.
I get in severe trouble with that.
Oh, there's so many things I can do. Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah. All right, sports. You get $1 million if you get this right, but you owe $10,000 if you're wrong. I'm just trying to, like, want you guys to focus. This is really important.
Okay.
To get this right. Order these quarterbacks in terms of the best career in the end of their careers to the worst. Okay?
Okay.
These three quarterbacks. Will Levis, Mac Jones, Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, God. I'll go – I don't even know if I believe what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'll go Shedeur 1, Levis 2, Mac Jones 3. I realize Mac Jones just came in here and beat Will Levis. I'm still going Shedeur 1, Levis 2, Mac Jones 3.
Yeah, it's not like Mac Jones impressed anyone with that win he happened to get. Nick?
I will go with Shedeur.
We've already got too much confidence in Shedeur. I'm already nervous.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too. But I'll go Shedeur. I'll go Mac Jones, then Will Levis as well. I don't know. Something tells me Mac Jones has more to prove. So
Mac Jones has had one pretty good season so far.
Yep. So I think this is – I chose this because, in general, the unknown is undefeated, right? Like, but my belief is that, again, I'm just basing it on data. Basing on history, most of these guys are not at all going to work out. And I think in all three of those cases, they're not going to be significant starting quarterbacks long term in the league. But I will go Levis 1,
right.
Shedeur 2, Mac Jones 3. I just think Mac Jones is really bad. I understand he won the game. I think Levis is going to stabilize and be a long term backup with some chances to start in the league. And I just, you know, Shedeur, I mean, he's talented, but again, I mean, most of these guys are not working out, and he's kind of small. And I understand there's plenty of small quarterbacks in the league who work out, but usually they're ridiculous athletes, which he isn't. So, for the most part, I don't think there's going to be a great career among the three, but yes, give me Levis number one.
I don't even believe in Shedeur, and I put him number one. I'm questioning myself already.
Well, I mean, the other choices, you know, so far, not great returns, so it's understandable. All right. Back to Christmas. The best Christmas food, more along the lines of the dinner, you know, whatever, Christmas Eve dinner, you know, Christmas Day, whatever it is, tradition.
Sausage balls. Sausage balls, God. Unbelievable.
Those are so good.
My mom was upset with me that I didn't say that in the first answer. She texted me. And I was like, well, yeah, but I'll eat those. If you offered them to me 365 days a year, I would do it. But
those are so good.
They are in excess. Christmas time. Sausage balls.
And I assume they're like with cheese, okay. Right? Yep. Yeah, man. Those are – talk about getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So to preface –
crunchy.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
So to preface –
already looking forward to it.
Yeah. So to kind of give you a preview from me, so when my parents got remarried, we had – I had dinner with my dad Christmas Eve. Then Christmas night was with my family on my mom's side. So both dinners, phenomenal. The first one was always the main meat was ham. So ham was awesome every single year. Local spot, we went there, grabbed a ham, cooked it. It was phenomenal. And then I would say the other one that was popular over the course of the years, and I hope we have it again this year, seafood. I like lobster.
Really?
I like all those legs too. You know, we don't have salmon very often, but that has been mixed in there once or twice before, I want to say. But a good boil is something that we have done previously that I really, really like.
Seafood at Christmas.
Yeah. Hey, man.
That's a bold move. I like it.
I'm not opposed. Don't do it, but I would do it. So I would invite everybody to try this. If you make this and you make it right, it's freaking amazing Yorkshire pudding.
What is that?
I've said this. I know I've talked about this on the show before.
Yeah.
It is. So it's not actually pudding. It's bread. But basically, here are the three ingredients. Flour, salt, and butter.
Yep.
That's it. But if you make it right, and like this is one of those, like you put it in the oven, and then like no one can move. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Eggs. Duh. Obviously, eggs too. No one can move. And then if it cooks just right and sort of billows perfectly, it's like it's basically the most delicious buttery like bread you've ever tasted. That's basically what it is.
It looks like a big old dough of like what is it, what do they have at the ball games that they have, funnel cake. It looks like
funnel cake,
like balls of that, maybe, I guess,
kind of. Yeah, but I mean it, yeah, but it's not sweet. It's, but I mean, like, I could eat like a pound of it if it's done right. So every year it's kind of like, okay, let's see if we can get the Yorkshire pudding. One year there was a, will not name names, but there was a someone who got upset and stomped out of the room on purpose.
Wow.
Very, very upsetting. Yeah.
Got intense.
Yeah. Knowing that the Yorkshire pudding could get messed up. So anyway, try Yorkshire pudding. All right, sports. Same thing. Same stakes, same question.
Okay.
Three different quarterbacks. Order them. Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, Michael Penix.
You know what? I'll go Bryce Young 1.
Yes.
I'll go Penix 2, Richardson 3.
Okay.
Bryce Young 1. Having a little bit of resurgence. Still needs to hit my guy Xavier Leggett in stride. But other than that, having a little bit of resurgence. Bryce Young 1, baby.
This is a good one too. I we've not seen enough of him yet, but I'm hopeful. I'll go Penix, Richardson, and then what was the? I'm sorry, I forgot the last one.
Bryce Young.
Yeah, Bryce Young. Yeah.
Disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
That is disrespectful. Bryce Young is absolutely first. I'm so happy for him that he's. And hey, man, I don't know. I guess maybe. And Richardson's playing better too. Maybe. In both cases, the benching thing is good. I don't know. I mean, maybe yeah. I should retract some of the mean things I said about both organizations. But Bryce Young, and I'll go Richardson and then Penix. I mean, again, the unknown undefeated. I'm typically, I got to see it. I mean, Penix was really good last year. He is injury prone, and you know we'll see. Richardson, I'm not super optimistic, but. You know, the talent remains there. I mean, I think in all of these cases, with all of these quarterbacks, of the six we named, I think the one who I feel pretty good about being a starter for a long time in the NFL is Bryce Young. Comes all the way back around to Bryce Young.
Anthony Richardson has played in 9 games this year. His completion percentage is 47.4.
My goodness, that's unbelievable.
Hard to do in the NFL. 47.4% completion percentage.
Yeah. Well, I think with him and Levis both, it's like at times it's just like, man, that's one that you get. It's just an easy one.
Yeah.
You know? Like, why'd you sell that one? He gets hosed, too, by his receivers. But, yeah, over that amount of time to be at 47.
It's not good.
No, that's not good.
Not good. 615-737-1025. We got a victory lap with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Gover on the text line saying, this topic is buns. I was telling you during the break, I had like six people walk up to me last night at the hockey game and say some version of either our team is buns or buns was mentioned to me no less than 10 times last night.
We are trendsetters. Well, I said this, you know, the buns thing. Again, shout out to Cooper. Also, shout out to Crosby Matwijic. He's my guy. But Cooper told me the buns thing, which apparently the kids say. I said this. I was at home telling Brennan about this. Brennan's like, everybody says buns. I'm like, well, I didn't know everybody says buns.
I don't think everybody says it.
Apparently the kids all do.
Okay.
So, hello, fellow kids.
Just added one to the lexicon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cheeks, that's dog awesome. Water, buns.
It's amazing because we used to think cheeks was so cool.
Yeah.
But buns is way better.
Cheeks is cool. Buns is,
for some reason,
I think my favorite.
It's even better. Yeah. So, anyway, what we're going to talk about.
That movie was buns. Thank you.
I don't know that that's going to get old. We'll have to, we will test it. I promise you that.
Yes, we will.
So, first of all, I actually want to get in a little bit to the Belichick UNC thing.
Yes.
I think it's fascinating. But I just want to, I want to say real fast, and I know it's not perfect, and there's a lot of things that have to be worked out. But one thing that I hoped, I thought, but I wasn't sure, but I think we can say now, which is that NIL and this whole situation, because some people were like, it's just going to make all the powers stronger. AJ DeBonsa, number one ranked recruit, and we're talking about like number one pick, I think, type dude, goes to BYU. BYU, you know, they got a billionaire who, you know, and there's different reports on the NIL offer. I've heard some are way inflated, perhaps by other teams who don't want to have their fans mad at them because they didn't get in there, and that's really ridiculous, and that's just how it goes.
And by the way, he's a basketball player.
Yes, so, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, AJ DeBonsa, number one rated basketball player, going to BYU, picking them over all the blue bloods and all the expected. Point being, you know, you look at this football season, it's too early still to be like, parity, it's here. But, you know, I look at Vanderbilt, and I look at, I mean, Indiana, there's a report, you know, they had like, it got to like 13 mil in their NIL. You know, we make this huge deal out of Ohio State and the $20 million team. By the way, LSU apparently real close to that too. It didn't work out so well for them. But
that's a tough one.
The point is, look, even if you don't like this stuff, it does open up the field to different things. And so I'm glad to see that. There's still there's unintended consequences. There's things that have to get better. We're getting to some level of collective bargaining, which I think will help with the portal and stuff like that. But I think it's cool. And when it comes down to it, it's basically like if you got people who love you and they have money, you can get in here. You can get in on this. So
I'm pleasantly surprised because I was one of those in the camp that, oh, well, this is going to make all of the blue bloods just that much better because they can just outbid everybody.
And they're not going away.
Yep.
You know, and I still think with some of them, it's like they have they got depth of – but, again, it's like the owner of the Jazz, multi-billionaire, wants to help BYU, you know. Sometimes it only takes one.
Yep.
So. But, meanwhile, speaking of NIL, apparently, you know, Bill Belichick wants to make sure – UNC has the NIL. I thought last night we were going to have news of Belichick signing with UNC. We do not have that.
Yeah.
But I'm stunned personally. I don't know about you, just because like 15 wins away from Shula, but I have to take this as he doesn't think he's going to get an NFL job.
I guess so. I can't believe that he's not at least waiting for the cycle this year, and then if it doesn't work out, maybe exploring this next year. I mean, he's 72, so maybe it's just as simple as that.
Like you don't want to, sitting out two cycles.
Right.
Right.
Like maybe it's that simple. But I don't know that I can picture him as a college football coach. Like, and if you're North Carolina, how long is he going to do this? Like, he's 72 years old. What was Mac Brown, 74?
Yeah, it's very close.
Yeah, so
73.
I thought when he first met with North Carolina, it was just like, okay, well, a weird meeting, but that's not going
to
happen.
Sure, I'll talk to you.
We'll see what happens.
Brush up on interviewing.
Right.
Yeah, then get ready for the job I really want.
But it looks like this is seriously going to end up with him potentially being the head coach at North Carolina, which would just stun me. And maybe that's the feedback he's gotten is, look, man, I'm 72 years old and just my way of doing things in the NFL, people are not interested in anymore. I don't know. And maybe it's also like the roster control part of it too. Like, he wants that in the NFL and he's not going to get it. But I'm with you. Like, if it ends up going this way, I'll be stunned that he ends up in college football.
Yeah, there's some talk, and I don't think it's accurate, but there's some talk about, you know, the coach in waiting thing with Steve Belichick, who of course is DC right now at Washington, his son who was with him at New England, who has an amazing mullet. Actually, I don't know if he still has the amazing mullet, but he did when he was with the Patriots.
Yeah, he did.
But, you know, I guess if that were the case, you know, then it makes a little more sense. If North Carolina, first of all, I think it's a little bit crazy to do this if you're North Carolina. But if they also did the coach in waiting, that would be absurd. I don't think that's true. And if it is, it's insane. I don't think so. But yeah, it's like, how long are you doing this? And I get the idea. I mean, he basically sold himself on the McAfee show.
Yeah.
And I get the idea of NFL legend. You want to go to the NFL? I mean, I get that. I do. But you know, it's not like there aren't other coaches out there with NFL background, and there's still a lot of different things that, you know, that go into recruiting. And then does he want that life? I mean, I know he'll have it probably set up to where, you know, personnel people, he'll have a lot of people. I mean, certainly it's clear he's pushing for like max funding on everything. Yeah. And North Carolina has not been there, you know, even in NIL circles, the reputation is that they've been behind and stuff. So it's I do wonder also if it falls through because they can't come with the commitments he wants on staffing and all that stuff. But I'm with you. I really, when this first happened, I mean, I know we were talking, yeah, let it just like, you know, come on, what are we doing here? And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay. So it's close. I thought it was going to happen last night. Today's going to be an interesting day. I think if it doesn't happen today, then it might start going sideways.
Like, the other thing is, does he want that calendar, that grind? Like, we've talked about this just in general. Like, there's obviously a huge commitment, whether you're a head coach in college or the NFL. But it's all year round in college. Like, it just never stops. Like, you're recruiting, and then you're re-recruiting your roster nowadays. Like, it never ends. Does he want that right now?
That's the thing. It's like, I mean, his buddy Saban, you know, just got out a few months ago saying basically, like, I just can't handle, like, you know, as soon as the season ends, it's just everybody's talking about their money instead of, you know, so again, it's sort of like being a GM, but everybody has a one-year deal. So it's not even like, well, I know you're signed for the next 3 years. I don't have to worry about you. It's
right.
Like, so knowing that and then still being willing to get into it, yeah. And again, you know, Saban was at Alabama. There are a lot of built-in advantages from the start there that North Carolina does not have.
No doubt. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the college football conversation coming next, including an interesting point that some have raised regarding Alabama and how it could affect Tennessee and some potential other teams in the SEC moving forward. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.